sounds great. As a church, we have been observing a time in the church calendar called Lent, which is 40 days leading up to Easter Friday, which is when Jesus died on the cross for us. And as a church, hello, someone's getting messages on this on the screen, on the stage. Does anyone want to sort that out? Is that you, Bruce? Juliet, are you texting Bruce right now? I can hear his phone dinging. We've been observing Lent, yes, 40 days leading up to the cross. And it's been a time when many people have been fasting. And I know that as a staff, when we're talking about the miracles we've been seeing in our lives, that people have been fasting and just setting their mind on Jesus. But here we are on the other side of Lent. So your fasts are over. And everybody said, hallelujah. And we have arrived at Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. And what I love about Easter Sunday is Easter in the Christian calendar isn't actually just one day. It's a period of time between now and 50 days from now when we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. And it's a season of Easter. And, you know, so many of us have disciplined ourselves to do this 40-day season of Lent to have one day and then what, just fall back into our sleepiness spiritually and just get on with it? No, we have like 50 days of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So I want to encourage you to be an Easter people, to be a people who just love what it means to understand the truth of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And that's why I love this slide so much. He is risen indeed with these beautiful flowers popping up everywhere. I need to start, though, that the foundation, the heart of the gospel message is at the cross. It is the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we may be forgiven of our sins. And that was what Good Friday was all about. And that's why we have the cross on the hot cross buns. But if we did not have Resurrection Sunday, the cross, the work of salvation would be incomplete. So thank Jesus for his resurrection. And so yesterday was Saturday. They call that Silent Saturday. And I loved that here at the Mount. We've had quite a moody Easter with weather. You know, it's been really windy and rainy and a bit stormy. And the ocean was roaring yesterday. And I just felt like it was right for Silent Saturday when Jesus, representing Jesus in the tomb. And everyone's kind of like moody and sad and... But I just love that Easter morning, the sun is out, the sun is shining. And the truth is, the reality of the resurrection is that it's a reality. It's true. And that's why we celebrate Easter today. And it's proof. The resurrection is proof that what Jesus did on the cross was enough to cover our sins. It was enough to atone for them. And it was fully paid. And the resurrection is proof of that. So Ephesians chapter 2. This is such an awesome passage of scripture. It says this, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin like the rest of the world. So this encompasses all of us, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else, myself included. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, thank goodness. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I love that the writer of Ephesians says that the salvation work in our hearts means that we are God's masterpiece. All things made new, from dead to life. The resurrection isn't just a nice story. It isn't just on a page of a history book. It is foundational to the Christian faith. The cross shows us God's unconditional love, but the resurrection, it proves that that sacrifice is complete. It is complete. It is the empty tomb that gives us meaning to it all. It's the empty tomb that gives us meaning to it all. Paul writes, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is in vain. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 15. This is just going to be quite a short message today because we're going to jump into water baptisms, but I hope you catch the power of what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. It says this, and if Christ had not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless. If Christ was not raised, all of our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. I'm going to circle back to that. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through one man, talking about Adam and Eve and their first sin, now the resurrection from the dead have all been begun through another man. So just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Christ is risen. He's risen. And that changes everything. It changes everything. It means that death does not have the final word. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for that. Like, I have lost loved ones, and there is a sting to that grief. And I know in a room this size, even this year, there are people here who you have lost loved ones. You have lost spouses. You have lost parents, grandparents. Some of you have even lost your children this year, friends. If Christ had not risen, the sting of that would be eternal. But Christ has risen. That's why we were singing, oh death, where is your sting? Because it means that we will see them again. Because he has risen. It means that pain, sickness, loss, war, depression, these are not our final destination. We may be going through a tunnel in life where it feels so dark, and there's sickness, and there's sin, and there's pain, and there's depression, and there's anxiety. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel because he is risen. It is an eternal light for our temporal darkness. He is risen. It means we are not alone. Even though sometimes when things feel like things are falling apart, you can feel alone. Because he is risen, it means we are not alone. You know, the world bombards us with bad news, doesn't it? Turn on the news and it's crisis after crisis. It's, you know, it's just horrific sometimes. Sometimes it's overwhelming. But we have the good news that Christ is risen, and that death and pain and sin and sickness has been defeated. It has been defeated. I believe he is risen. I believe he is risen, and I'm unapologetic in saying it, and that's why when we believe that he is risen, we love one another differently. We live differently. We hope differently because he is alive. You know, I have a picture frame. Can you grab it? It's just there, Aaron. Can you see the picture frame? I was in Raglan on a family reunion and I walked past this in an art shop. Just hold it up, nice and high. And it says, Rise and Shine. And one, it was a little nostalgia. I had a little nostalgia because, you know, did anyone have a mum that would come into your room and be like, Rise and Shine and give God. No, only me. You can, that's cool. You can. So I was like, oh, that reminds me of my childhood. But also, rise and shine. We are called to rise and shine because He is risen. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2 says, Arise, shine, for your light, Jesus, has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the whole earth and thick darkness over all the people, but the Lord rises upon you and has glory over you. That is something to celebrate this morning. Okay, come with me to Matthew 28. Nick read Luke's rendition account, if you will, of this, the resurrection. I want to read Matthew's, just a little bit of Matthew's. And I would encourage you to go and read all of the gospel accounts of the resurrection because you learn different things from different accounts. It's really cool. Early on Sunday morning, I love that, as the new day was dawning. Because He is risen, a new day is dawning for us. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Man, the earth took notice that He was risen. There was an earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and His clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw Him and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We not need live in fear. Don't be afraid. He said, I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Thank you, Jesus, that you were. But He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as He said would happen. Come and see where His body was lying and now go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead and He's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see Him there. Remember what I have told you. What I love is every week when we take communion, and we took communion on Good Friday, had a beautiful communion service, we talk about how we remember that Jesus died on the cross and we remember His body was broken and His blood was spilt so that we could be healed and saved and set free. I love that the angel here, the angel says, I want you to remember something. The angel says this. He says, He is risen from the dead just as He said He would. Just as He said would happen. We need to remember that He rose from the dead. We need to call to our mind and remember this moment as well. We need to remember that the earth shook, that there was great light, that it was like an explosion. You know, I loved, like I said, that it was a moody Saturday. And yesterday afternoon, the sun popped out and I just happened to capture this photo of the mount. And it was just amazing. The sun was right at the tip of the mount and it was shining bright and you couldn't even look at it. And I thought, wow, what would the resurrection have looked like? Wow, remember His resurrection. It was not just an event, but it's a promise. St. Gregory of Nyssa, a significant early church father, he states a central theological point in Christianity. And it's not complicated, but it's powerful. It says this, Christ in rising not only opened His tomb, He opened the way for every man or woman who believes. Amen. He opens the way for us all if we believe. To come out of our tombs of death, death to sin, death to self, come out of our tombs of sickness, come out of our tombs into life. We get to walk out of our tombs too. Thank you, Jesus. But how can we believe that this actually happened? Because it's pretty outrageous, isn't it? How can we actually believe? And the truth is, the Jewish leaders at the time, they actually bribed the soldiers and told them to tell everybody that Jesus' body was stolen. And there's rumors that Jesus' body was stolen. But there are so many little things along the way that just disprove that was true so that we can believe. One is the fact that the linen that Jesus had been wrapped in was still in the tomb. That linen was very expensive. It was very expensive linen. And if somebody was stealing the body of Jesus, they probably would have stolen the linen as well, because it would have cost a lot of money. They would have made a lot of money of it. The other thing that I love is that he folded the napkin that was covering his head. It's like, why would a robber go and like neatly fold the napkin that was covering Jesus' face? I just think this is a biblical reason why teenagers should try to tidy their room. Jesus did it. Jesus folded his laundry. You know what I mean? Like, it's true. Take note. He's risen from the dead. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus, this is the biggest CSI cold case of all time. The people who wanted to disprove that Jesus rose from the dead, let me tell you, they would have been looking for that body. They would have been looking for those bones. And if they had have found them, it would have made the news worldwide. But it has not happened, because he is risen. He is risen. There's just so much I love about the resurrection. And I love that when Mary Magdalene came and Jesus came, he was disguised as a gardener at the time, and she was crying. And he says, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Like, it's a bit of a silly question. Her teacher, her rabbi, her master, her Lord had just been murdered, and she was crying. But Jesus is saying, "Why are you crying?" Because for him, it wasn't a time for sorrow. He had risen. And he was saying, "Who are you looking for?" Because she was looking for a dead body, but she was about to meet her risen Savior. And that's what I love about the fact that in church, we should be joyful. It should be celebratory, because he is risen. It should be as joyful and as celebratory as it is reflective and reverent. Because he is risen. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Praise the Lord. So good. So what does the resurrection mean to you? Let's make it personal. What does it mean to you? Because either Jesus rose from the dead or he didn't. Do you believe in the resurrection? Because if the resurrection is true, it means Jesus is searching for you right now. It means he's searching to bring you his resurrection life. He's searching to help you walk out of your tombs of death into life, into a brand new day. He is alive. It's not just a chapter in a history book. It is a person. Jesus is saying to us as a community, rise and shine. Rise and shine. And you know, you might be going through a really challenging time right now. You might be hard pressed. You know, you might feel like life is just too much. You're not alone. And we believe that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can enter into new life and you never have to be alone, and you can walk out of that tomb in Jesus' name. So I'm going to get the worship team to come and join me. And we are going to do something so wonderful. We are going to baptize a whole lot of people. So amazing. There's no better time. Well, any time is the right time to baptize people, but it's especially significant and special on Easter Sunday. What is an appropriate response to so great a salvation? What's an appropriate response? Good Friday, Jesus gave up his life for us and then he rose from the dead. What is an appropriate response? What is our appropriate response? I just want to summarize, but a quote's going to come up behind me by some of the Nicene Fathers. It says this, and I want you to listen to this if you're getting baptized. There it is. It says yes today. Hey, you should try and do this sometime. It's not as easy as it looks. Okay. Yesterday, I was crucified with him. Today, I'm glorified with him. Yesterday, I died with him. Today, I am quickened with him. Yesterday, I was buried with him. Today, I rise with him. But let us offer to him who suffered and rose again for us. You will think, perhaps I'm going to say gold. Should we offer him gold or silver or woven work or transparent costly stones? Talks about the mere passing of material earth that remains here below. And for the most part, it's always possessed by bad men, slaves of the world and of the prince of the world. No. He's saying, what shall we offer? What is our appropriate response? He says this, let us offer ourselves the possession most precious to God and most fitting. Let us give back to the image what is made after the image. We are made in the image of God. Let us recognize our dignity. He made us in his image. Let us honor our archetype. Let us know the power of the mystery and for what Christ died. Let us offer ourselves. And this is what the people who are being baptized are doing this morning. And I just had an opportunity to get around and say hi to them all. And it's just amazing to see the hope and the joy they have in their eyes on this Resurrection Sunday. These are amazing people who have surrendered their lives to Jesus and they've said, I am all in. I just want to briefly talk about water baptism and also about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because both of these, I'm walking over here because most of the people getting baptized are sitting over here. Because both baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit are both very significant. And they're very significant. Oh, thanks, Brennan. What a gentleman. There we go. And these are very significant in my life. I remember being baptized when I was 14 years old. And I remember being filled with the Spirit to overflowing when I was 12 years old. And it transformed my life forever. And I remember people being water baptized who were dear to me. I remember my dad's water baptism. I had prayed for him for 16 years to surrender his life to Jesus. And his life had completely fallen apart. He was an alcoholic. He was a gambler. His second marriage had fallen apart. He had health challenges. And I remember one day there was a call given, do you want to surrender your life to Jesus? And he got his jacket from where we were sitting and he sort of went like, he's probably watching. You walk like this because, you know, you're a bit stocky. Sorry, Dad. He's probably watching online. I love you, Dad. And anyway, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. And then it was one of my greatest honors a few weeks later to baptize him in the water of baptism. And baptism is so, so significant. It's actually an ancient tradition. And it was used in religious and citizenship ceremonies. And it was to show that a person had chosen to leave one country or one religion and convert or move to a new place. And, John the Baptist did it in the Bible to show that people were leaving their old life of sin and they wanted to live God's way. It was something that identified them. So baptism is something that identifies you. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he said something that, you know, has lasted throughout history to today. He says this in Matthew 28:19. He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, be baptized. In Acts 2, it says, repent and be baptized. This is an all-in kind of moment. So baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. Can everybody say that, please? Baptizo. Come on, put some Italian flair to it. Baptizo. It was Greek, so I should have said Greek flair, not Italian, you know, anyway. But what that means is it means to plunge under, to dip completely under or immerse. Like not just a sprinkling, but a full submersion. That's why you're going to go completely under the water. Now, I remember I was baptizing people, back in the day with a young guy named Tim. And he would sort of like go, we'd do it together. He'd go down and before he'd get fully under, he'd sort of come back up and they'd come up dry. And I'd be like, I'd look at him with my big eyes like, are you joking? And he's like, well, do we do a double dunk? And I'm like, yes, we need to fully submerge them. So you will be fully going under the water today. I didn't baptize with Tim after that. I was like, no, you need to know how to do this right. But water baptism in itself, it's not how you get saved. Being filled with the Spirit, you get saved by your belief in Jesus. But water baptism was, and it is, an outward sign of what God has done in your heart, okay? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. This is a very powerful scripture. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, the people who are getting baptized this morning who belong to Christ, have become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. A brand new day, how good's that? But this is what I wanted to say this morning as I was preparing. It is so much more than an outward declaration. It is supernatural. There is something supernatural when you go through the waters of baptism. In the same way, it's identifying with Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus hung on the cross and he died. And it's like when we go under the waters of baptism, it's like we are saying we are dying to ourselves. We are dying to our sin. We are dying to the world, and we're going to leave it all in the water. Jesus died by crucifixion. This is like we're dying by drowning, so to speak. We're dying our old self and leaving it in the water. And then when you come up out of the water, you're identifying with Jesus' resurrection, of him coming up out of that tomb. So when you are water baptized, friends, when you come up out of that water, it is like a new day, and you're entering into that resurrection life. The other thing that's so powerful about baptism is it's identifying with our deliverance. In the Bible, Moses and the Israelites, when they were slaves in Egypt, like we have been slaves to our sin, when they were slaves in Egypt, they came out through the Red Sea into their deliverance. When you come up out of that water, let me tell you, I have seen demons manifest and get left in that pool, and people come up set free. My dad, on the day of his baptism, we went to the beach and he pulled into the casino, and I was stressing out. I was like, are you serious? You can't gamble on the day of your baptism. But he goes, I'll just be a minute. And he goes in. I'm sitting in the car, I'm freaking out. And anyway, he comes back and he goes, you'll never guess what just happened. I'm like, please don't tell me you won a lot of money. No. He said, I walked into the foyer and I saw this sort of demon-looking man run towards me. And I looked at him and I said, no more. And he turned around and he went back in the other direction. And then my dad was water baptized. He came back and he set free. There is something supernatural that happens when you go through the water of baptism. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen.